You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the Southwest Wisconsin Groundwater and Geology Study. SWIG is the acronym that we'll be hearing. The researchers have been working on it for 19 months, and in the current phase, they're tracking down fecal sources of contamination in private wells in three counties, Grant, Iowa, and Lafayette. Do you live in one of these counties? Is your well contaminated? What questions do you have about the study findings to date, to the present? We're at 800-642-1234. Ken Bradbury is a Wisconsin state geologist. He directs the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, which is part of the Division of Extension at UW-Madison. He's on the team working on the SWIG study. Ken, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So you and the team are about halfway through the study of these private wells. What do you know now about the types of contamination that you're seeing in these wells?
Well, we've been looking at mainly two things, nitrate and bacteria. And the latest work we've done is to speciate the kind of bacteria to determine whether it's coming from people or animals, specifically cattle or pigs or people. And so we've started the study with samples of from over 800 private wells in those three counties, just looking at for the presence of bacteria, specifically coliform bacteria, and nitrate levels in the wells. And then we've reported those results before, but a fairly high percentage of the wells had one or both of those things. And then more recently, we've sampled a small subset of those wells that we knew to be contaminated to see what the bacterial source was.
All right. So fairly high percentage having either nitrates and or bacteria. When you say a fairly high percentage, what does that mean?
Well, for example, in November 2018, our first round of sampling, we found that 42% of the wells had either bacterial detections or nitrate above the drinking water standard of 10, which, so 42% is pretty high. When we sampled those large set again in April of 2019, it was a little bit less, it was 27%, but ideally we would have zero. So either of those is a pretty high number. And they're generally higher than other places in Wisconsin. And we know that wasn't a big surprise because that Southwest Wisconsin geology and hydrogeology is a fairly vulnerable landscape with often thin soils and not much attenuation of contamination of contaminants as they move down to bedrock aquifers. So it wasn't a big surprise, but it is a interest, and certainly we're interested in water quality, so we want to know what people are drinking out there.
And so in the smaller subset that you're looking at, where is the contamination coming from? Is it people or animals or both?
It's both, which is very, very interesting. So we found fecal microbes. So these are things that are shed in feces from both humans, cattle, and pigs, and some of these are actually pathogenic, meaning they can make people sick. So it's important to know these things. But the reason we wanted to do this speciation is that people have pointed fingers to saying, well, it's all farmers, or no, it's all septic tanks and so forth. And we're finding it's both, which is not a big surprise, but it shows us that everything we do on the landscape can have some kind of impact.
We're talking with researcher Ken Bradbury. He's been working to identify fecal sources of contamination in private wells in several southwestern Wisconsin counties. He's sharing the latest from the SWIG study with your insights, your questions. Has your well been contaminated? What steps did you take to clean your water source? Have you been in touch with county officials about your private well? What are those conversations like? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Ken, why these three counties did you focus the study on?
Well, I should emphasize that these counties came to us. So
they,
the county soil and water departments in each county initiated, and actually the counties have funded this, much of this study. So it was initiated by the counties, but the reason they were interested is that this was a part of the state that had not been studied much before in as far as a comprehensive water quality study. Other parts of the state like Kewaunee County and Door County have had a lot more historical research done. These counties felt that they might have a problem, but it had not been well documented. So this was initiated by the counties, and hats off to them for doing that.
And that's the counties, again, Grant, Iowa, and Lafayette. What
Correct.
Interests you about the geology of these counties?
Well, it's a very interesting geology because it's carbonate rocks mostly, which are rocks like limestone or dolomite, and as you know, the Southwest Wisconsin is what we call the driftless area. So it was not glaciated. That means there's a lot of topography, big hills, deep valleys, a rather old landscape. And because of that, there are places where bedrock is quite near the surface, and there's older soils on top of that that we have not had a chance to understand that well. So this gives us a reason to do research on those. And it's also a place where, as I said before, we had not done a lot of research on groundwater in the past. So it's been a very interesting place to work.
So at what point then are the contaminants leaching into the wells? Where is this breaking down where we see the contamination?
Well, the contamination starts at the ground surface. So this it's important to understand that all of this is starting at something on the ground surface. Nitrate and bacteria are not things that are normally present in pristine groundwater. If we go to places like northern Wisconsin, where, say, up in the Schwabing-Nicolet, where there's very little agriculture or people living, we see very, very low nitrate in groundwater. So seeing high nitrate in bacteria shows us that these are caused by people and things that are happening on the landscape. And the things that happen are agriculture is a big one. We dispose of manure. We do fertilization. We have pasture cattle and pigs, and we have pots and those sorts of things. And then we also have septic tanks and human waste disposal. And the water sources, of course, are private wells, which are simply holes in the ground that are lined with steel pipes and of various depths. And of course, those are the design is prescribed by the DNR, but many of these wells are quite old. Some of them are not in good shape. Some of them are shallow. And so one thing we're doing in this study is looking at the type of well and the well design and how the well, is constructed to see if that correlates to whether or not we're finding some of these contaminants.
Does the age of a well also factor into this? Because you said some of these wells are quite old.
Yeah. Some of them can be, up to 100 years old. And when you think about it, the well is something that's often out of sight, out of mind on a property. It's a very, very important part of a home's infrastructure, you could say, but it's not something that people think a lot about. So wells can, casings can rust, things can happen at the top of the well, it can be damaged. Maybe somebody backs a car into it or someone piles waste next to the well. So there are a lot of pathways that contaminants can get into a well, particularly if it's an old well and hasn't been maintained properly.
Talking with geologist Ken Bradbury about the SWIG study looking into private well contamination in three southwestern Wisconsin counties. Are you living in an area that has had issues with clean water? What questions do you have about the contamination? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a groundwater study here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So researchers, they launched the SWIG study back in September of 2018. It stands for Southwest Wisconsin Groundwater and Geology Study. Now they're in phase two, trying to identify fecal sources of contamination in private wells in Grant, Iowa, and Lafayette counties. Do you live in one of these counties? Are you concerned about contamination and access to clean drinking water? What questions do you have about private wells for the geologist? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ken Bradbury directs the Wisconsin Geological and Natural History Survey, and he's part of the SWIG study team. He stays with us. So, Ken, when a homeowner's well tests positive for contamination, what options do they have with their private well?
Well, that's a great question, Kate. And the first thing that we always recommend is that they inspect the well, make sure that they know where the well is, make sure it's got a good cap on the top of it, and make sure there's no contamination source next to it or nearby, and which could be a pile of waste, runoff from a farm field going right by the well, or runoff from the yard or something like that. The next thing that they might want to do is contact a licensed well driller or pump installer and have them inspect the inside of the well. And it's important that a licensed person, professional, do that and see if there's any, they can detect any problem with the well. And they might even, this professional might even want to chlorinate the well, which may take care of the bacteria problem if it's something to do with the well. Beyond that, then it's the next step would be to look around the landscape and see if there's any other contamination sources nearby. And these things are tricky, and sometimes we can't find the source, and that's a frustrating thing for everybody. Those are some of the steps we take. And if the DNR and UW Extension have a lot of information about wells that can help the homeowner. So I would also suggest contacting the local extension office or contacting the DNR too. They have a lot of fact sheets and information about wells and how to worry about your well, how to take care of your well.
Ken, why
some of the steps?
Yeah, Ken, why is seasonal testing important for checking in on these wells and researching these private wells?
In doing hydrogeologic studies, we always want to do seasonal testing because here in Wisconsin, such the big swings in weather from winter to summer, and so we know that in the spring, like now, we've been getting a lot of rain. And so you get a lot more groundwater recharge happening in the summer when it's in the normal summer anyway. It's hot and dry. We get less recharge. In the fall, we get more recharge again. And then the way that farmers manage their land changes through the season. So they are disposing of or spreading manure and fertilizer in the spring and summer. Crops are growing for part of the year, and they are using these nutrients and the crops. When the crops are not on the field, then the nutrients are not used by crops and can go into groundwater. So we are trying to see if we can correlate these contaminant presence to different times of the year, different practices going on the land. And that's why we sample seasonally.
We're talking with State Geologist Ken Bradbury. He's with us as we look at well contamination in three southwestern Wisconsin counties. You can join in. Are you living in an area of the state that has had issues accessing clean water? What questions do you have about the sources of contamination? And how would you like to see policymakers address the issues? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. So, Ken, where does your study team go next? What do you work on next with this study?
Well, we're now at the stage, Kate, of doing correlations between the water quality information that we've found with things about the well and about the landscape, such as depth to bedrock, distance type of well, that's depth of a well or the kind of casing a well might have. Things near the well, like number of agricultural fields, number of septic systems, number of feedlots, to determine correlations or relationships between water quality and these things we do on the land surface. Now, of course, correlation is not causation, but it is important to understand the if come up with a way we can try to predict the risk of contamination from various practices. Now, this procedure follows the same kind of procedure that has been done in Kewaunee County, and it was very, really successful up there in showing, for example, that areas with shallow bedrock had a much more were much more likely to get contamination.
Yeah.
And so those sorts of things are important to know, and then we can find those things, and then it might be possible to develop some new guidelines for landscape management or well design and that kind of thing.
Quite a bit of detective work going on there. Let's bring in a call now. Mark is with us from Iowa County. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. Thank you. I was wondering about pesticide contamination also. Perhaps metabolites can show up. I know nitrate goes with fertilizer and the bacteria, of course. And also, it seems like the long-term solution would be for local codes, not one code for all the state, but to have solutions for well and septic design for the geology of an area.
So, 2 points there, Mark. Certainly, pesticides are an important concern. It's not something we're sampling for here. The Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection does quite a bit of pesticide sampling, but you're right. Pesticides and metabolites can be an issue. It's just not something that we were able to do in this study. It would be interesting to do that, but we couldn't do everything. As far as you mentioned codes or regulations, it is true that one size doesn't fit all, and we have a very varied geology across Wisconsin. And so I don't know, I'm not on the policy side here, but I think it is important to target any codes or regulations to specific parts of the state. I don't know if it can be as specific as one county, but it can be targeted for regions where we have similar hydrogeology. And I think that makes more sense than trying to have one sort of code that fits everything, because that's so hard to do in a place that like Wisconsin, where we have such a wide variety of hydrogeology and geologic settings.
Mark, thank you. Let's bring in Melody now in Ferryville. Hi, Melody.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would just want to comment that a couple of months ago at Crawford County Prairie du Chien Board, I went in there on another subject matter to meet the board. And there was two rows of chairs, one for the hog farmers, one for the people in the community. The crux of the matter is people in the community, because of the well water, was concerned that the hog farmer wanted to enhance his farm by 1,000 pigs. Although he would not be adding more land to it, I felt bad for the pigs. Nevertheless, the people were concerned about their water with the phosphorus. And I was not there. I did not know. It was sad because the front row of chairs were left for the hog farmers, the back row for the community. So even though there was 5-6 chairs empty for the hog farmers, at first they let 80-year-old people sit and wait from the community.
Melody, thank you. Thank you for that call. In these CAFOs situations as well, Ken, that is a concern when you have these confined animal feeding operations and animals close together.
Yes, it is, and that's one of the things when I mentioned we were looking at correlations for different activities. Looking at these locations of these CAFOs is something that we are looking at, and she mentioned hogs specifically. And I mentioned that we are looking at the different sorts of bacteria and fecal bacteria that are found in wells, and indeed we have found some from hogs. We've also found some from cattle and some from people. So it's not hogs alone. We know that, but hogs are part of the issue.
So as we look forward here, southwestern Wisconsin has a relatively high percentage of contamination in private wells. Hotspots like Kewaunee County have kind of figured out culprits. What can homeowners do?
Well, homeowners need to be aware of their water source, and they need to test it. We recommend testing at least once a year for nitrate and bacteria. And one message that I like to give to people is that if you are on a private well, you are in charge of that well, meaning that nobody's coming to test it for you or check it out. And I think a lot of homeowners, particularly new rural homeowners, don't really understand that there's no the city water department or the county is not going to come and inspect your well for you. That's something you have to do yourself. And water quality can change with time. So just because you had a clean well at one time when the house was built or something doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way. And it's important to check it, because these can have an effect on your health, particularly if there's high nitrate or a pathogenic bacteria that can affect you. And so it's important for people to test their own well. And that's something that's not expensive and fairly easy to do.
Ken, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Ken Bradbury, Wisconsin State geologist, talking about the SWIG study. Coming up, we talk with the physicians on the front line of the coronavirus. That's after this news update on the Ideas Network.